will be by Ilka Chavez. Ilka is the Acting Director of Policy in the Office of Policy and Strategic Planning in the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Emergency Responses Office. She's been with the Department of Health and Human Services for 14 years. She's been in ASPR for the past 2 years and has worked in HCFA, CMS. She's also done consulting in public health, and her first job out of school was working for the New York Hospital and Healthcare Corporation. She's got her master's degree from Baruch University and her undergrad degree from the State University of New York in Utica. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I know we're running behind schedule, so I'll do like most of the presenters, just go through. But first of all, I need to say that I have no relationship to disclosure, as instructed. today, I just want to share with you and discuss a few of the efforts HHS has undertaken to prepare for and respond to public and emergency threats in a global society. Second, I'll also like to talk about some of HHS's and the ASPR's efforts and priorities for domestic and international readiness, and also share the national goals and strategies for the response to a severe influenza pandemic. Here, this is just a quick slide to provide an overview for you who are not familiar with our department. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is the principal agency responsible for enhancing the health and well-being of all Americans. So we play a critical role in public health. HHS developed a strategic plan that sets out major areas of focus for HHS at the goal level, and they also lay out primary strategies for achieving these goals. The plan specifically directs HHS efforts to improve healthcare, promote and protect the public's health, enhance human services, and advance the research and development enterprise. The plan also laid out 11 priorities. Two of those priorities are priority 6, health diplomacy, and priority 9, which relates to preparedness. Those are specifically related to public health. Health diplomacy mainly focuses on goodwill, to foster goodwill through healthcare. Here, I just wanted to present to you a quick overview of the HHS organizational chart. As you see, there are different distinctions between the operating divisions, which you are familiar with some of them, the Center for Disease Control, Food and Drug Administration, just to mention a few. The organization I represent is specifically the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response. And as you can see here also, the Assistant Secretary for Health, who just spoke, is also a support agency to the Secretary. In this slide here, I just tried to emphasize that we have many offices within our agencies that invest and support many efforts in emergency and public health preparedness and response. Some of those agencies, as I mentioned to you, are the Center for Disease Control, the Food and Drug Administration, and the National Institute of Health. So we all work collaboratively with folks within the government and outside of the government. However, due to time constraints, because we could talk about a lot of the work that happens within the department, I'll try and just focus on the work that is undertaken under the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response, specifically in international health. Just a quick overview. This slide just basically gives you the focus of the Assistant Secretary. He serves as the primary advisor on bioterrorism issues to the Secretary. He also coordinates all HHS's interagency activities and also activities between HHS and other federal agencies. So we play a big role within that department. Here you just see basically our mission and vision and the structure. Basically, the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response Office has four offices. two of the main ones that many of you in public health may be familiar with is the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, which basically develops or research and purchase necessary vaccine, drugs, and therapies and diagnostic tool for public health medical preparedness. The second office I will also like to highlight is the Office of Preparedness and Emergency Operations, which basically develops operational plans and focuses more on the exercises that we to ensure preparedness. The other office is the Office of Medicine, Science, and Public Health, which I will focus on later on in my presentation. And they basically provide the leadership and coordination and subject matter expertise to focus on the medicine, the scientific, and public health aspects of preparedness. And the office that I represent is the Office of Policy and Strategic Planning, which basically focuses on the policy strategies for the organization, in addition to serve as liaison to the White House and other offices. I just wanted to also mention to you a few key legislations. One is the Pandemic and All Hazards Preparedness Act, which actually created the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response. It actually strengthened HHS's role as the federal public health and a medical response entity. In addition to create additional offices, it also transferred the National Disaster Medical System to HHS, as well as the Hospital Preparedness Program. This provides an overview, and I'll just go through quickly on this. This is basically the Preparedness and Response Enterprise. As I mentioned before, many pieces of HHS tie into this enterprise. And we actually work closely together on developing different initiatives towards international health. And like I mentioned before, I will discuss that later in the presentation. There are a few clarifications I'd like to make. I know a lot of people always ask, what do we mean by medical preparedness? This encompasses readiness of the healthcare system, making the current system more efficient, developing additional surge capacities to treat as many people as possible, just to mention a few. Public health preparedness, what is it? Many people always ask. It entails health surveillance. Who is sick? Where are they? What are the symptoms and syndromes? How quickly can we find and track illnesses, injuries, and risk? And that directly relates to the work we are doing on borders. Next, investigations. What are the risk factors? How is disease moving through the population? What interventions are working? The last two areas, when we talk about public health preparedness, we're looking at laboratories. Can we test humans, animals, environment samples, and others? And public health surge capacity. What are we doing to train our staff, public health staff, to help prepare for these emergencies? And what are we doing to help the capacities of hospitals? Here, this is just basically a quick slide to remind you of what I discussed before regarding the Office of BARDA. Basically, this is our goal towards public health in international areas, which is to expand worldwide capability to prevent, prepare for, detect, and respond to and recover from public health crises. And you will hear about a few of those examples in terms of what we're doing within the department. This is ASPR's international role. We actually, through the Office of Medicine and Science, we coordinate key policy initiatives, manage strategic partnerships, develop funds, and implement international programs, expand worldwide capabilities to prevent, detect, mitigate, and respond to public health crises. As Assistant Secretary Garcia mentioned earlier, we also play a key role with international health regulations. The international health regulations, as he mentioned, serves as an umbrella to focus on all the significant hazards to international public health. These regulations also strengthen national disease prevention, surveillance, containment, and health medical response systems. A few of our international efforts that are led by the Office of Medicine and Science Public Health are: one is the Global Health Security Initiative. This initiative was launched November 2001 by the Ministers, Secretaries, and Health of Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Mexico, and the United Kingdom, and of course the United States. This is just a development that was done through lots of efforts across the federal government, including the World Health Organization, State Department, and also the HHS. We've done a lot of work on that, and basically the ministers meet on a yearly basis to share information about and coordination efforts to improve global health security. One key thing to note about this particular group is that they actually meet at different levels, at the ministerial level, at the senior official level, and also at the technical level. So we're constantly sharing information through this Global Health Security Initiatives. A second project that ASPR specifically works on in conjunction with CDC is the Early Warning Infectious Disease Surveillance Program. This program is basically jointly managed by CDC and ASPR. It is a supplement of the Public Health Emergency Preparedness Grants that some of you may be familiar with. And it also funds, basically provides funds to the border states, mainly to the border states. There is also another part of this program, which we call EWIDS, which is the Early Warning Infectious Disease Surveillance. There's a partnership with Mexico also to focus on the border states. There is one last project I would like to talk to you about, which is the partnership with Gorgas Memorial Institute, which is located in Panama, Republic of Panama. And we've developed relationships and partnerships with the Minister of Health of Panama, in addition to the Gorgas Hospital, to develop training, regional training of workers, health workers, and indigenous workers, in addition to build surveillance capacity. We're also working on developing a regional training center in Panama. Here, I just wanted to run through just a brief overview of a case study of the impact of a pandemic influenza response. If a pandemic outbreak occurs with no intervention, this is where you see it will peak. There's always a delay in the outbreak if it's when it peaks. If we have interventions, and I will talk about some of our strategies in a few minutes, then it decompresses that peak. And overall, it will diminish the cases and health impacts. There are a few key strategies that we focus on within the department related to international response: the rapid assessment and response in coordination with affected nations and the World Health Organization. We do a lot of that. We also look at access to the role of antiviral drugs during a pandemic. We also focus on training, as I mentioned to you, of foreign nationals in local and national surveillance and outbreak response and containment strategies. We have also encouraged simultaneous exercises. We have done some with Canada and other organizations, and we continue to test containment plans. This just describes some of our strategies that I mentioned to you in terms of international response. Basically, the information I've just provided to you, you can take this as an analogy to a step towards further and consider that our efforts domestically and abroad to improve surveillance and detection, to develop and stockpile medical countermeasures, to refine deployment and utilization systems and policies. When considered separately, they are all imperfect solutions, but when considered as a group, as a continuum, as a holistic enterprise, then we get closer and closer to our goals for a nation and a globe prepared to respond to the challenges of public health threats. This is something that ASPR and the department as a whole continue to strive for. And there you basically have the Swiss cheese effect. So it's continual, just trying to improve the imperfections, working collaboratively with our international partners to get to the results that we're looking for, and the struggle continues. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, our final presenter this morning is going to be Alan Deary, who most recently was the director of the National Institute for Environmental Health Services in the Division of Research, Coordination, Planning, and Translation. He's now the acting interim director of the National Toxicology Program at NIEHS. He received his PhD from the University of Pennsylvania, did a postdoctoral program at Berkeley, and is on the faculty, has been on the faculty at Duke University. At the NIH, he's worked on various research administrative positions, and he's received a number of NIEHS and NIH awards, and two DHS HHS Secretaries Awards.